This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the top of the hour. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, live at the Beacon Building. You're listening to 1077 WTPL. You can stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And also, we'd love for you to go to our brand new website, foodforthoughtnh.com. And from there, you can like us on Facebook as well. And we're very interactive and are always posting pictures of our guests and links to where they come from and all that. So we are in studio with Carolyn Choate. She is the program manager of TV 13 and a self-declared foodie. And before we got to the top of the hour, we were talking about, you know, what the term foodie means to her and the dining scene in Nashua and what she thinks of the dining scene in Manchester. So that's where we were. That's where we were talking.
Well, I hadn't responded yet on Manchester, but Manchester is a very exciting place for me as a foodie. And I was thinking about an upcoming column to write for Barking Tomato, and that is maybe some food envy. Some food envy in the Granite State, because there's going to be a veritable food revolution moving into Portsmouth.
Yeah,
we already, you know that Portsmouth is a
right
a magnet, but we're talking about some major movers and shakers. I don't know if you caught an article. It was in the Boston Globe. On March 25th, I believe, a front page piece about truly a constellation of epic proportion of either contracts already signed or in the process of big players coming to Portsmouth because they want to compete. Now we're talking about interstate envy, compete with Portland, Maine, which we all know is yet another center of the foodie universe. So it will be a really interesting couple of months coming up. So the thought would be, you know, okay, Manchester, you know, if you're the foodies out there, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people in a tough economy will sacrifice a lot of other things rather than food and wine. You know, they would probably go without laundry detergent before they would go without those two other commodities. So if that's the case, you know, at restaurants everywhere are in a, you know, good position if your food is good and drawing that upwardly mobile or foodie passionate person. So, you know, it's kind of like a wake-up call. What is going to drive that person to come to Manchester if all the buzz is to drive them to Portsmouth? You know, when you see an article like that in the Boston Globe, you know, a lot of those Bostonians are going to be heading to Portsmouth. What's going to be bringing them, you know, to Manchester? So that's kind of like how I wanted to maybe do a future blog, talking to Manchester restaurant people and saying, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but, you know, this is en route, something of that nature.
Well, the whole East Coast, really, you can start in Providence and work your way up to Boston and even, you know, take a little side trip to Newburyport, which has some really nice places, and then find your way up to Portsmouth and Portland. So you could make that a two-week vacation if you just wanted to eat and just lay on the beach and go,
kind of like what Kevin Cornish does, KC's Rib Shack. He goes south, and that's what they do. They eat for 3 days straight in barbecue joints.
Well, I had the incredible privilege of interviewing Barbara Lynch a few weeks ago. If you're familiar with her, she's the number one restaurateur in the United States, James Beard Award winner, who just had the most incredible fundraiser at the Boston Museum of Science for Children, Children's Museum in Boston. And 35 chefs, Tukes and Tonics was her fundraiser for her foundation. She owns, you know, 8 restaurants in Boston, some of the top tier in the world. And, oh, my gosh, you know, here's this family of chefs, top restaurants in the country.
All together.
Who all came and each served bites from, you know, their world-famous restaurants for this cause, over $250,000 raised for the foundation to keep kids in school. You know, Barbara Lynch, her new memoir is coming out soon, but here's a tough person from south side of Boston, single mom, one of 6 kids, a harrowing adolescence and teen years. You know, it's, I think I read a line where she makes Anthony Bourdain look like a nun.
Oh, really? oh, my.
Selling drugs through high school to make ends meet. And, you know, restaurant life saved her life. And here she is giving back so much to the community and really put Boston on the restaurant map. So to interview her and go to that event and meet some of the top chefs of the United States was just, you know, a dream come true for me and, you know, what I thrive on. So this show Kalcha that I'm producing now is really definitely the high point of my television and foodie aesthetic career. So it's been a blast.
People can read that, by the way, on ManchesterInkLink.com. The column is The Barking Tomato, written by our guest today, Carolyn Choate, out of Nashua, TV producer, also foodie, blogger, and teacher, which I want to get to in a minute. You mentioned Anthony Bourdain. What do you think about him and his shows, his very raw approach to journalism?
I like him a lot in the CNN series that I'm watching. I think he's got to be brave to go to some of the places that he goes. And at first, you know, obviously he's written one of the most profound books in foodie, you know, in food culture and, of all time, but that really set, you know, the world abuzz for that genre. I'd much rather read a nonfiction food book today, I think, than just about anything else, or food memoir. Kate Christensen has a great one, Blue Plate Special, and she has some roots in New Hampshire and is now living in Portland, Maine. If you could get her on the show, that would be great. But I like his approach. It might not be for everyone. It's a little toned down from his former self that I've seen in other venues, but I like what I see on CNN. And I think it's kind of cool that I mean, who would have thought on CNN 20 years ago that you would see Anthony Bourdain in a primetime slot today? I guess that's kind of a weird commentary on where the media is today, but also a plus in the food category, I guess, for people like us who love food. So I think in that regard, the whole bar for food has risen, and one would hope. But you also hear complaints about things like, you know, that the Food Network has gone from the PBS style sedate,
yeah, cupcake wars now,
you know, or they're yelling and screaming about food rather than talking about the cultural essence of food, like a PBS style program. So, you know, there's 2 ways to look at it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think the book you're referring to, Kitchen Confidential, right? Anthony
yes.
Bourdain? Yeah, I did read that. I interviewed him shortly after it came out, never realizing he was going to be the big star that he eventually turned out to be, but I was glad I had a chance to talk with him. Mm-hmm. As a writer and a blogger, you are also writing a memoir right now, which is pretty interesting. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It's called Flat as a Pancake. How I came to terms with losing my 2 big, beautiful breasts. You had to have something catchy in the title, right, to sell it?
I like it.
But the truth of the matter is what you see here is fake. Mm-hmm. But I was rather large-breasted before breast cancer knocked on the door in 2003. That was the initial call. And I was always a doobie about getting mammograms. So when the routine mammogram that I had that particular year at the age of 44 failed to see the golf ball sized tumor, came as quite a shock. But nonetheless, I just had an innate feeling that something wasn't right, and I proceeded to bug my doctor, and I had they kept saying, well, you had the mammogram, and we'll do this, and we'll do that, and they kept prodding and poking, and I said, keep on poking, because I still don't feel like myself, and I think something's wrong here, and sure enough, it was breast cancer, and it had spread to my lymph nodes. And by the time the prognosis and all the reports came back, they said, and at the time I had a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old daughters, they said, you got about 3 years to live. And I think it was at that point that I turned to food as the ultimate healer. I'm not saying that I went totally Eastern medicine or holistic approach. I think I did a great combination of the two between my oncologist, Dr. Rao in Nashua, who I worship, and a great combination of holistic food remedies. And it's not for everyone, but it's what I was comfortable with in my approach. I think it saved my life. And so I had, at the time, though, I was like, why bother with reconstruction? I got 3 years to live. I don't want to have to go through any more pain than I need to. So I did not have reconstruction at the time. But then the days passed, and the months, and the years. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to beat this thing. And then about 7 years later, I got to the thought, well, you know, it's kind of like I'm carrying around this extra weight. I'm, you know, it's very weird. I'm lopsided. I think I'd like to just have them both off. And every time I had anything significant, a dot show up on the next mammograms, there was test and this kind of test and that kind of test. And then, you know, the old panic anxiety was always kicking in. And one day I said, this isn't worth it. Can you take off lefty too? And Dr. Rao said, yeah, let's just do that. Then you don't have to have any more of these tests. And I'm like, I'm for that. So it was the best decision I ever made in my life. And it was just so freeing, you know. And yes, it... For a while, it's disorienting. You know, you feel like your femininity is gone, or you're not going to be attractive, or what will people say? And, you know, it took a while for me to feel like I could still be a woman, quote unquote. And so with my combination of my love for food, you know, and my love of idioms and such, I was like, yeah, I'm flat as a pancake. And loving it. And that's what I went with. And so my oldest daughter at the time got a wonderful job with the Aspen Institute, one of the biggest think tanks in the world in D.C. And she went all over the world, and she had a job assignment for a month in Greece. And she got in touch with me and said, hey, Mom, they're going to give me 5 days off at the end of this. Why don't you meet me? Why don't we go to Santorini for 5 days? I said, 5 days? I'm not going to go halfway around the world for five measly days. So I said, let me think about it. So I thought about it, and I'm like, hey, I got an idea. I'm going to go a week in advance by myself. You know, the old story of Homer and the Odyssey, how he found, you know, the old archetypal journey of man finding himself. Well, this is going to be Carolyn finding herself in her new body as a foodie. And so I had one small backpack. And I, my husband blessed me, said, have a great time. Here's a cell phone with a SIM card in it. Call me when you get there and let me know you're safe. And have a blast. And took my camera, took my journal, and it was a high point of my life. So I got to Santorini. I hiked to Ia on the volcanic side. And for a total week, I ate and slept and breathed and hiked, climbed Mount Kemeny, the volcano, and went to all the great restaurants and wineries and pastry shops I could find. And that was my, in my blog, you can see it on The Barking Tomato, Regurgitating 2014, Santorini, Greece.
Before we run out of time, which we will in about 2 minutes, I want to make sure that we let people know how they can sign up to take. You've got classes, I believe, in October, right?
At the, starts September 10th.
September. Okay, sorry about that. So
at the Nacky Loeb School, it's
right.
A wonderful thing.
What's right
wonderful about the Nacky Loeb School is that only the teachers are paid. Students can come for free. That is a wonderful legacy that she left this world in her estate. And I'm so proud to be a part of it. And so wonderful to have volunteered when they gave the wonderful award posthumously to James Foley's family last year in honor of him as their fundraiser. But go to the Nacky S. Loeb School of Communications. It's a six-week course. The classes are for 6 weeks. We have some incredible teachers and food writers, Yankee Magazine, food editors. We have Craig Pierce from Martinetti Wine. We have Associated Press food writers are all coming in to help me with guest lectureships, and it's absolutely free. Just go onto that website, Google it, and register. I think there's a max of 20 slots in there, and we're going to have a blast.
And so you'll be teaching a class on food and wine writing and memoir writing,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I do them back to back.
Yeah, on the same night, which is fascinating because I'm totally
Wednesday nights.
I'm totally captured by your adventure, not adventure, your journey through beating cancer through food, which is, I guess, an angle I met. Well, I haven't had to think about it and hope I never do, but you made the most of it, and now it's great to be able to express it and share with others on a larger stage. So thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely.
Carolyn Choate, a foodie, a blogger, a teacher, and, of course, producer at Channel 13 in Nashville, which if you have a smart TV, back in the day you couldn't pick up the TV station. Now you can get it everywhere without being on cable or satellite because you get it the old-fashioned way through the air digitally.
The old-fashioned.
Pretty cool. So glad you came in. Thanks, Carolyn.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you. Sure. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we're going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we'll be with our friend Donna in Delaware. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hi there. It's 129, and we are Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence, Mike Moore, and she of Red Arrow Diner, and me, just a lifelong radio guy, also writer of the book 50 Shades of Radio. Our show is brought to you by Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked, award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue. So good. You won't find anything else like it in the Granite State because, as Carol was pointing out a little bit earlier, Kevin Cornish, the owner, when he started the restaurant business and before he opened up Casey's, he and some other guys went and investigated and went to the truest places they could find in the Carolinas and basically patterned their menus and their ingredients and stuff from what they found down there. And as it turns out, it was the right thing to do because that place is a gold mine.
It is. It's fun. Casey's just lots of parties and, you know, barbecues and events like for big people. Like, you know, I don't mean big people. I mean, I mean, like 200 and 300
Oh, large groups
of
people.
I mean, that's large. Large groups, not even large. Jeepers.
Oh, that's very funny. Yeah. Also, Grasshopper's Garden Center on New River Road in New Boston, where the customer comes first. So they are our sponsors on Food for Thought. It's 1:30 on The Pulse, WTPL.
All right. And we're going to welcome on our weekly regular segment. We're always in anticipation.
Oh my God, I love this woman.
I know, of what Donna has in store for us today. So let's welcome Donna from Delaware. And welcome, Donna.
Hello, everyone. How are you today?
Hello.
How's everything?
Thank you for letting us move you back a half hour. It was a scheduling snafu on my part. That I got my wires crossed, and but everything's working out great. And thank you for hanging in a little bit later to join us today.
Oh,
we'll make it worth your while.
You got your wires crossed.
I did. Oh, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, as long as they're crisscrossed.
And how are you doing, Donna?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Loving life.
You know, weather's been very good, and it's been really good.
Okay, yeah, life is good. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the phone down here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything has been good in this neck of the woods.
Good. Awesome.
Well, Carol is actually going to be flying over Delaware on her way down to South Carolina. She won't be able to parachute out to where you are to visit, but you'll have to meet up again in wherever you were, the Cayman Islands or something.
Yeah, oh, well, no, we're going to meet very soon because I'm on my way up there to see y'all.
Oh,
I'm making a trip, 4th of July. Yes, I am.
All right.
I'll be sailing. Oh, I'm going to miss you.
You're not going to be around 4th of July?
I won't be here the 4th of July, no. This is news to Carol, too.
Well, I'm coming up 4th of July weekend.
Well, good.
All right.
So
that's
I'll be
awesome.
On fireworks.
All right. I'm excited.
Are you excited? I'm excited. I can't wait. We'll discuss those details after our show. All right.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good.
This is what's been going on around here.
All right.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear.
You can't wait to hear. I can't wait to tell you.
Right.
So, when I was a kid, I loved when my mom would cook breakfast for dinner. Bacon, eggs, pancakes, fried potatoes, and scrapple. Oh, yeah. I love Scrapple.
Scrapple?
Scrapple.
Well, tell people
what
that is.
Scrapple?
Not everybody knows
what
it is.
No, I know what Scrapple is.
But I think there are some people that don't know what Scrapple is, so you better inform the uninformed on that, Donna.
I'm going to inform you. I'm going to tell you what Scrapple is.
Okay.
Let me get to my story. Can I tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
I told you about that, didn't I?
I'm zipping it.
Wait, you put me on late, and then now you're going to interrupt me.
I knew you were going to.
Yeah. So, back when I was a kid, I used to love Scrapple. Now, I didn't think that you could get Scrapple or bacon other than pork. Not until I met my husband, and he didn't eat pork. So he schooled me on the fact that you could buy beef Scrapple and beef bacon. Now, as a kid, we ate everything on the pig except this poor little oink. One year, my dad bought 3 pigs, and they stayed down my grandmother's house. Now, we would go and feed those pigs, and they was the funkiest things you ever did want to smell. I mean, it smelled like garbage in the Sahara Desert.
Oh.
So, me and my brothers went out looking for our pigs in the pig pen. I went to go look for Miss Piggy, Wilbur, and Porky, and they was gone. But that night, we ate the best tasting ham I ever ate in my life. Now, if you know anything about Scrapple, it's the scraps of an animal mixed with cornmeal formed into a block of gray goodness. Now, don't turn your nose up at Scrapple or try to get all bourgeois with
Do you have a camera in here?
No, don't turn your nose up and get all bourgeois because you know some bougie people. Now, down here, you can buy pork, beef, and even turkey Scrapple, which makes me so happy. Life is good in my neck of the woods. I am older, wiser, and much prettier, but I never want to forget my past as I live in my present and look to my future. This week is a tribute to the food pieces of me in one yummy sandwich. I named this sandwich, "It's All About Me," I said, on two pieces of bread. Name. My past is Scrapple. I grew up eating it as a kid. It's inexpensive. It doesn't look that well, but it tastes oh so good, and it's easy to cook. My present is apple chutney. I'm using more spices and different cooking techniques in the kitchen, and I'm a little more confident in what I'm doing. Now, my future is Brie cheese. My dream is to go to France one day. I tell Teddy all the time, if I die, he better have me cremated and sprinkle my ashes all over Paris. And if anybody asks where his wife is, he better tell them she's all over France. Now, the French people, they know something about living and eating, and they are my kind of people. Gertrude Stein said that America was her country, but Paris was her hometown. And I want to go and see what that's all about. Now, County Collins, who is my favorite poet, visited France on many occasions in his lifetime, and he has a poem called The Rendezvous with Life. Now, the Honorable Miss Childs, my girl, Bon Appetit, when she was on the scene, she loved French cuisine. Don't ask me to speak no French. I took French in school for 4 years and don't know how to speak a lick of it. Only thing I know is parlez-vous français, parlez-vous anglais. But I do know a song. You want me to sing it for you?
Absolutely.
Sure. All right. Now I'm going to sing it. Sur les ponts d'Avignon, only dancer, only dancer. Sur les ponts d'Avignon, only dancer, tout le monde. On that means on the Avenue Square, one dances. On the Avenue Square, one dances in a circle. And that would be me, because when I get to France, I'm going to be dancing in my circle. Now, so anyway, what you'll need to make this All About Me, I said, on two pieces of bread, you will need one package of Scrapple. Now, you can buy pork, you can buy turkey, or you can buy beef. I use beef. Apple chutney, Brie cheese, and French bread. Now, this is how you're going to cut that Scrapple. You're going to cut it in a rectangular, long way, about a half of an inch thick slices. You're going to coat that Scrapple with flour, and you're going to fry it in oil. I use grapeseed oil this time. And when I was a kid, my mama would fry it in Crisco, where she kept the old grease on the stove, and we would reuse it until it wasn't no more good. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to fry both sides until they're crispy and brown. Now, I like my Scrapple crunchy on the outside and soft in the middle. You're going to drain it on a paper towel, and you're going to set it aside. Now, here's how I made my apple chutney. I took 6 large apples. I peeled them and cored and took the core out and chopped them into bite-sized pieces. I used 1 teaspoon of lemon juice to sprinkle all of those apples to prevent them from browning. I used 1/2 cup of red onions chopped, 1/4 cup of golden raisins. I used 1/4 cup of apple cider vinegar. I used 2/3 cups of apple juice. I used 1/2 cup of brown sugar. I used 1/2 teaspoon of ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of allspice, 1/2 teaspoon of curry powder, 1/2 teaspoon of chipotle pepper powder, and 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt. I placed all of those ingredients into a saucepan, and I cooked over medium heat until it looked like applesauce. I let my chutney cool, and you can also make this chutney ahead of time until you're ready for your sandwich. Now, it's time to put it all together, like putting me together. It's a work of art. This is what you're going to do. You're going to spray your pan, your frying pan, with cooking spray. Now, you're going to butter one side of your bread. I use ghee because it prevents from burning. I place that piece of bread in the pan. I took some of my apple chutney, and I spread it over my bread. Then I place my cooked Scrapple on top of my bread, my Brie cheese. Now, I know y'all know something about Brie cheese. It got that film, that little white film on there. I didn't eat that. I took that off. Even though I read it was edible, it looked like dried powdered milk, like it came out of an old cow. I wasn't eating that. So I took that off. And not only that, when it melt, it didn't look like it. It don't melt all the way. So I wasn't eating no old cow milk. So I ate the middle. So I placed that. I placed the cheese on top of my scrapple, and then I spread some more apple chutney onto the bread. Now, then I put another piece of bread on top of that, and then I placed some more ghee. Now, I closed my sandwich up, and then I placed my frying pan on the stove and cooked at medium heat, and I fried it like a grilled cheese. Now, I was thinking you could probably put this in a panini maker. Don't let me get one because it's going to be apple scrapple around here all week. Then, after I did all that, I fried it on up and placed it on a plate. I put on my raspberry beret, you know, the kind I find in my secondhand store.
Yeah, thank you,
Prince. My raspberry beret. And if it was worn, I wouldn't wear much more. Took that sandwich and got it all together. And then in my Nicki Minaj voice, I said, "This is my sandwich. I waited all my life. I could tell it's time. Being one with my cheese, my sandwich has come alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life." Now, this is Donna Johnson giving you the 411 on her sandwich. "It's all about me," I said, "on two pieces of bread. All the way live. Back to you, Mike and Carol."
I got to tell you, that, you know what? That actually sounds like it's pretty good.
Pretty good. Teddy ate it cold. That's how good it was.
Oh.
Because I cooked one yesterday because I was like, I have to cook it, make sure that it's right and tight. And so after I cooked it, I ate mine hot. He said he didn't want to eat his because he had to go to the gym and work out. So he told me to leave his sandwich in the refrigerator, and he ate his cold. He said, "Babe, this sandwich is good." And he said it was all crispy and crunchy. I was like, mm-hmm. So, yes, y'all got to put that at the Red Harold Diner. We're going to get y'all some scrapple and some apple, and we're going to get it crack-a-lacking.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you make her a guest chef on the grill one day when she's
at
the Rodero Diner?
We're definitely going to have to. And I'll have to film it or video it or something.
Wow.
Yeah, you definitely got to have that up there. If y'all don't have no scrapple, y'all ain't. If you have not eaten scrapple, you have not lived. Ain't nothing wrong with a little scrapple. Don't get bougie while on me. Just go ahead, fry that scrapple up and put it between that French bread. And get your raspberry beret and get it crack-a-lacking. Y'all going to be okay? Scrapple's good. It never killed nobody. I ate it all my life. So I'm fine. You'll be fine.
Now, when you have your ashes scattered someday over Paris, will you also have the raspberry beret included in your cremains?
Yes, in my two-piece, too.
Oh, the two-piece. Yeah.
Yes, we ain't talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I know. We were talking about that earlier, that KFC has they brought the Colonel back.
I seen that. But you know what? Ain't nothing like Colonel Sanders. You can't beat him. You can't replace the Colonel.
I don't want to, but I do like those secret 11 herbs and spices locked in some jar somewhere in Kentucky.
Is it locked in some jar? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's what
I say, whoever got it, put him in somebody's lap and rub his head, and I bet you we'll all get them 11 herbs and spices.
Oh, Donna. All right. I think our time is up.
Yeah.
Well, y'all have a great Memorial Day.
Thank you.
And always remember, life is for living, and food is for giving. And Donna is out of here. She's ready to get her moment of life. All the way live with my Scrapple Apple.
See you later, Scrapple Sister.
Oh, my gosh. That is always such a treat because we just never
know
what to expect. But she did. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, she ties the stories together somehow.
She does.
She thinks about it. She you know, and that's what food really is. Is the way it's shared community-wise, and so she gives us the background on what it means to her with her family, starting up by saying that, you know, her grandmother used to make dinner for breakfast, or, I'm sorry, the other way around.
Breakfast for dinner.
Breakfast for dinner, yeah.
And I don't even know what to say.
Best not to.
Probably is. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we're on 107.7 WTPL FM, and we're going on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It's been a fun Wednesday. Donna always caps it off for us.
Just a lot of variety and interesting twists and turns today, I think. With Carolyn Choate, followed up by Donna's Delights from Delaware. You just never know what you're going to get. Are we like the Whitman sampler? Isn't that what from Forrest Gump?
Oh, are you one that always, because, you know, I mean, who doesn't like chocolate? I mean, you know, really. But, you know, when you get those sampler things, were you one of the ones that would take a bite and put it back to you and like it?
Well,
when you were a kid. I'm not talking as an adult.
I don't think so, but I wanted to. And I got to be honest with you, I don't like those big Whitman sampler boxes because a lot of them are just not that great.
Yucky.
Yeah, I, you know, in general, not to pick on Whitman or
any particular brand. Of those kinds, though, you know.
But, you know, I think we've evolved from that. That's sort of like the old school last minute gift for somebody. Oh, we'll bring a box of chocolates. No, don't bring a box of chocolates. There's so many great local makers of chocolate, or not necessarily chocolate, granola, or you name it. You can find it probably within 10 miles of your house if you just do a little homework and find something fun and interesting. But the box of chocolates, that's just so 1965.
It is. I even think when someone brings a bottle of white Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember white Zinfandel?
I know, but you know, it's... Oh. I've gotten to like Zinfandel again.
The white Zinfandel? The rose-colored one?
No, not that one. But,
that's what I mean.
Oh, okay,
like
no.
Like that.
I haven't really had it lately.
Who drinks it now?
No, I think a lot of people probably do.
You talk about 1965 and the Whitman sampler. If you've noticed Hershey's Pot of Gold, they've tried to update the selection, and it still feels like it's 1965. It just is in a smaller package, and it looks a little bit more modern, but not really.
It does. It's no. Do you agree, J-Dog, that those boxes of different chocolate varieties, because you don't know what's in them most of the time. But they give you like a little map sometimes to help guide you past the cherries.
Pictures on the back.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you like that kind of chocolate?
No, I always feel that I agree with both of you. I always leave disappointed. I'm always thinking there'll be something like a peanut chew, and it ends up being something not a peanut chew.
Coconut.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind. I know you don't like coconut, Carol. No. I do. But so by the time I want it, somebody will take it. So I'll be stuck with the rotten cherry. And I like cherries. Chocolate and cherries, 90% of the time, they don't taste very good if they've been in the box for very long.
Right. So. They taste old.
Yes, they do. They taste like they're from 1965.
I love the Lindt chocolate. If you're going to pick a brand that's not like local. Well, they actually are locally owned, are locally made now in Stratum, whereas it was a Swiss company before, and a lot of their production is done here. So I guess we can call it local. But I love their chocolate truffles. You like those caramel?
They're delicious.
Yeah, I mean, you're not eating any these days.
I'm not eating them now.
But they must make 30 different kinds.
They're very good.
And you might find mint in the middle, or you might find a ganache type of, or you might, who knows, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, and there's about 25 others.
They're good. They're good. Daryl's cousin is a high up in
the mint. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what her exact position is, but I know she's pretty high up. And Daryl is a major chocoholic.
Oh, so does she? Do you find ways to get Lindt chocolate into your?
No, well, no, not from her. But he does. His preference is Lindt, and you find candy bars all over the place.
Seriously, does he like tuck them away? And
he puts them in his desk. Usually,
I do the same thing
in the desk.
I do the same thing at home.
And yes, they're in the desk. He opens them up, and you know, like I'll see him. Like if I'm sitting, you know, in my chair,
those flat
reading,
candy bars, right?
Yeah, the flat ones. Yeah,
those are so good.
Yeah, that's what he.
Oh my god!
And all of a sudden, I can see him like, kum, 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 you know, and I'm like, are you eating chocolate again? Like, yeah.
Well,
one time he left it out on top of the desk, and Molly got out.
No.
Oh yes. We saw the remains of it, and I kept trying to ask him how much did you eat?
Like, because she's such a small dog.
You know, I called the vet and told them told them what we thought she might have eaten.
Yes.
And she was okay. And they told me that, they didn't, you know, and I'm like, should I bring her in? Are you going to pump her stomach?
Right, yeah.
But no, they just said to watch her. I don't remember exactly, you know, well, watch her, make sure she's not, you
right.
know, whatever. But she was a little laggy, you know.
Okay.
She was okay.
Man, that would scare
and
the heck
I
out
was
of me.
So
I know
scared.
How you love your dog.
It wasn't even funny. And, you know, I kept saying, and he didn't remember how much of the chocolate he had eaten. You know, right. he didn't know if it was like a whole one, half, quarter. Right. You know, there could have been one little square, could have been 10 squares. Who knows?
Right.
But, well, my brother's dog, Jane, you've seen Jane, the big poodle here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's your brother's
poodle.
Dog? The, oh, okay.
The big black one.
Yes, not the brown one. Okay.
Right. The Well, gray. Isn't she gray? Or, well, anyway, yeah. but the big, bigger one.
Yes.
Jane eats chocolate. All the time.
And is fine with it?
Fine. She gets into everything at their house. They have to, like, you know, if they leave something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've left, like, you know, like a communion cake sitting on the, you know, on the counter. And boom,
no.
they come home, it's gone. Plate of ribs, gone. One time it was winter and they, you know, went to go let her out and they looked out and there was all, she had gotten into a package of, like, you know, Reese's little mini peanut butter cups and all the little wrappers all over the snow. Unbelievable how much chocolate
they're
that
very, very lucky.
I know.
And that's a big dog. Luckily, you and I both have small dogs that can't get up on tables or counters.
Right.
So I don't worry too much about that. But to show you how, again, I'm a fairly new dog owner of only 3 years. First dog I ever owned.
Me too, 3 years, Molly.
And one day, Basha got a macadamia nut. So I just did some online research, and that's like the worst nut for a dog. It definitely
well,
is lethal.
You said that the other day.
But you know, we watched her, and she's 16 pounds, so one macadamia. But I was freaking out.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
You never know.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think it's time to go feed our dog something good.
Yeah, let's go give him a treat.
Hey, have a good little mini vacation.
Thank you very much, and thank you for
we'll
taking
miss you.
Over. And,
oh, no problem.
Tell Kerry I said hi.
Kerry Lehman is our fill-in host for Carol tomorrow, and Chad Zingale's
Chad,
on Friday.
So,
so we'll have some laughs then.
With
so.
Comedy cold cuts, you're all set.
But we want you back.
All right, Kale and Company up next. I'll see everybody next week, and you'll see Mike tomorrow. So bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.